From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of October 31st, 2005, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks for checking us out this week. Coming up in the show, we've got a whole ton of stuff. The Miniac is here, Greg Hosfeld.
If you want your game, your golf game, to improve, it doesn't hurt, and it actually does help to learn other disciplines because you can bring the knowledge from those other disciplines into your golf game.
He's been around the sport a long time, and in fact, he's a former world champ, and he's going to tell us about his passion for disc sports, how maybe adding a disc discipline or two can help your disc golf game, and he's also going to tell us how he avoided becoming the first world champ to kill himself only 3 seconds into his championship reign. That story later in the show. Plus, David Fallenberg is going to introduce you to a trick shot you may have never heard of before. It's called the Scamahawk, and it may prove useful in getting you out of some trouble. That's in the 60-second clinic. Plus, results from the Oklahoma Open. It's all coming up this week on PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Discovering the World at dtworld.com and Innova Champion Discs at innovadiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drive no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with the new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
The Big Arms were in Tulsa this past weekend for the Oklahoma Open. Results coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division. And Mitch McClellan has struck fear in the hearts of disc golfers for many years. He is showing no signs of slowing down as he handles the smack talk from Daryl Johnson. Yeah, McClellan's going to win this one by a bunch. Johnson takes second place. Scott Wilkinson, one throw out of second. He'll take third. To the women's division, and defending champ here held her turf. Des Redding smoothly outplaying the division. Second place goes to Carrie Berlager of California. And third place, Iowa's Angie Schickfried. In the open division, a very tight race from top to bottom. And the man who proved to be the rightful heir to the throne as champion was homeboy Kevin McCoy. He's going to win it by two over the young gun, Alexi Boobs Boobas. He takes second place, a tie for third between Barry Schultz and Coda Hatfield. That's how it went at the Oklahoma Open. Time now for the 60-second clinic. Most of us have at least one trick shot in our bags. Maybe you like to putt with your putter upside down, or maybe you've got a wicked forehand roller or something. In the clinic this week, David Fallenberg is going to tell us about a particular trick shot that he likes to use to get out of trouble. It's called the Scamahawk.
The Scamahawk. And a lot of people have given me credit for the Scamahawk. I'd like to clarify this ahead of time. The Scamahawk was taught to me by Scott Stokely when I was an amateur in Florida. He was playing in a tournament, and I saw him do it, and then me and him went out to a field, and he showed it to me. So I have to give him his credit where it's due. But what you do is you take a very beat-up driver, and you throw it as high and as hard as you can, turned over like a sky roller. And if it's beat up enough, and you throw it high and hard enough, you will be able to get it to barrel roll, and instead of going to the ground and roll, it'll go under itself and turn into what looks like a tomahawk. And you can throw it over trees, you can throw it line drive, you can throw it down hills, and it's just like a tomahawk or a thumber for the player who doesn't have a good shoulder. You just like throwing a jumbo sky roller that turns into a tomahawk, and you can throw it straight up right over trees and it'll carry out. So go out there and get yourself a flippy disc and throw it as high and as hard as you can, and you'll be surprised what it'll do. You'll love it.
David Fallenberg won his first U.S. National Disc Golf title this past month.
Hi, this is Avery Jenkins, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture, we meet Greg Hosfeld of Florida. They call him the Miniac, and he's been around the sport a long time. He's the world champion in 1987. And if you've ever seen Greg Hosfeld, either on the disc golf course or off the course, chances are good you've seen him doing some pretty amazing things with a frisbee. We began the conversation by finding out where he got his nickname, the Miniac. They call you the Miniac. Why do they call you that?
Well, I've always been into playing with minis, snapping and throwing and whatnot, and doing a lot of freestyle. And basically one day I was out doing some airbrushing under the legs and this and that, and somebody started calling me the Miniac, and it just stuck.
You're known for more than being just a disc golfer. You are, you know, you're a disc sports kind of guy. So is there one disc discipline you prefer over another? Is golf your thing, or is freestyle, or what?
Well, I used to play all the events. I was an overall player. But I've more or less whittled it down to two, golf and freestyle. And I basically love them for polar opposite reasons. Essentially, freestyle is very reactive. It's just really quick and very physical, which I enjoy. And golf is very slow, plodding, and methodical. You basically don't have to, I don't think you have to make as many decisions in golf, but you have to labor over that one decision, possibly even obsess over it until you actually release the disc. Whereas in freestyle, I think you're making split decisions and sub decisions, you know, possibly more in one really good combo than an entire round of disc golf. I'm sure disc golfers, a lot of them will disagree with me, but not many of them freestyle, so.
What do you think about some of the other disc games like Double Disc Court or Maximum Time Aloft? They seem to me to have kind of dropped off in popularity since, well, probably the 70s. Do you think they'll ever really come back?
I don't know. I mean, essentially, when I started playing, everybody played everything. If you're a Frisbee player, you play all of them. And now we have specialists. Most people specialize in golf. Freestyle, there's only, up until maybe 2 years ago, there were maybe only 20 people in the world under the age of 35 that were good at freestyle, because it takes so long to get good at it. And one thing I've noticed over here in the States is that people don't want to try freestyle because they're afraid to look stupid. Whereas over in Italy right now, it's blowing up. I mean, they are going nuts because they just think it's cool. And they don't care if they look a little stupid at first, because people aren't going to point fingers at them and laugh. You know, over here in the States, you see a much lower level of respect for skills of that kind. You know, here they just say, oh, here's a guy that's got a lot of time on his hands, you know, ill-spent youth, that kind of thing. Whereas over there, it's like, what an amazing, cool new skill. I got to learn this. So here in the States, a little different mindset. But the other events, DDC, very popular in a couple of very small pockets of the country. The problem is that people will pick up what is prevalent in their area. And golf is something that's very widespread. Ultimate is very widespread. Freestyle, unfortunately, is not. Just because of the sparsity of quality players. And as far as MTA and that sort of thing, well, it's just not really all that exciting, frankly. And it's fun to do, but, you know, most people, well, great, he's throwing a frisbee and then he's running like crazy to catch it. Oh, there's a dive there. He's grazing. He's got grass in his teeth. Yeah, it's not something that people really aspire to get good at, but when it's an overall format, you really need to practice it. You know, a discathon? Nah, nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that. But
except Snapper. No, even Snapper doesn't want to.
Snapper doesn't necessarily want to do it. He happens to be very good at it, but he's an old crusty like me. And when you play overalls, you need those points. And if you want to win the overall, you got to learn how to play everything. So I highly suggest it to everybody. Everybody. And I'm talking to you people right now. If you want your game, your golf game, to improve, it doesn't hurt, and it actually does help to learn other disciplines, because you can bring the knowledge from those other disciplines into your golf game. I do it every day. You know, certainly the flexibility from freestyle helps when I got to make a stretch shot or whatever, but there's also angles and just all sorts of things that you can learn from other events that you can apply to your golf game.
You know, a lot of our listeners are fairly new to the game, and I'm guessing a lot of them haven't seen you in action doing like freestyle or messing around with minis and that sort of thing. So do you do like a regular annual gig where people can count on you being there and they can actually see you in action?
Not in particular. I mean, I used to do a lot of comedy club shows and cruise ships and theme parks and that sort of thing. I'm still doing a little bit of that in Orlando. I mean, I did something at Des Moines Worlds last year, but it was just a real short little demo, really. But I don't have any particular place where they can be guaranteed to see me there working or whatever.
But if you do happen to see an event where Haas is playing, chances are good that he's going to be goofing around with some freestyle and some minis at some point during the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I love to break out the jam disc or throw a 40 and a 50 mold inside each other, and as they fly, they split, and that's really good for your split focus. So you've got to grab one high, one low, or one behind your back, and maybe you can get that second one under your leg. I just like the fun reactive stuff, and but like I said, it's all interrelated, and if you play the other events, as a golfer, you can still have fun doing that, and it will play into your game somehow.
Greg Hausfeld is a former world champion. You won in 1987. This is 2 years before Ken Climo began his unprecedented run of 9 world championships in a row. So tell us about that year. You were in Toronto, Canada.
Well, actually, the whole summer was pretty interesting because I started whittling my finishes down throughout the summer. I went to the U.S. Open overall, and I got 11th in golf there. Then the next Mid-America Open, I got 10th. Fort Wayne, I got 8th. Cincinnati, I got 7th. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I've got the Indiana States and the Ohio States. I'll probably get 4th and 3rd. I'll get 2nd in doubles at the Worlds, and then I'll win the singles. Ha! Well, I was just goofing around, basically. But in the Indiana States, I won. And the Ohio States, I got 2nd. I thought, oh, no, I peaked too soon. But Sam Farrens was touring with me, and I learned a lot from Sammy that summer. He was just a young kid, but very experienced and very talented. And he taught me that I could do the walk-up putt, which I do in speed golf all the time. I just didn't know I was allowed to use it. And once I did, it just started blowing up. And Sammy and I played doubles. We didn't have such a hot first round, but we smoked on our second round and got 2nd. And then going into the last hole of the singles, I was tied with Mike Sullivan, who literally lives on the island at the course, knows every nook and cranny, knows the course, and he parked it right behind the basket. He went, instead of right at the basket through the standard route, he went big Anheuser around everything, which surprised me, but he had an easy drop in, and I left mine 45 feet short. And one of Sully's best friends was like, "Woohoo!" It's like, hey, you don't cheer for somebody messing up. You cheer for somebody winning. And the guy kind of torqued me off, and I ended up getting mad enough to bag that 45-footer to stay tied. And then we went into a playoff, and Mike and I both deuced the first two holes, and I threw OB on the third hole. And I figured, well, that was it. I gave it a good run. And Mike hit a tree on his roller, and then hit a tree again, dropped it 100 feet short, and his third shot was directly under the basket for an easy drop-in 4. My second shot turned over and went OB again, and then at the last second, it sort of flexed back and came in. Now, remember, too, in 1987, the big high-tech disc was an XD. Yeah, baby! And so
that's a great disc still. Now, come on.
Oh, it's a great disc. It's just not one people generally think of as a driver.
Okay, fair enough.
It's still a fine disc, and actually for people that are starting out, I highly recommend an XD for new players over an Orc or any of the high-tech stuff, because it'll give you a straighter, truer line when you're still learning in your formulative years, in your Frisbee diapers, as it were, because you really want to depend on something that can give you a true line instead of trying to throw something completely overstable and having it flex back hard to the left. And the high-tech discs are too squirrely. But I digress. I'll get back to that in a little bit. But anyway, I ended up being 45 feet away on the fourth hole of the playoff in a small ditch behind a tree, and I ended up bagging that to stay tied. And one of the weirdest things I've ever seen happen in disc golf, the next hole, Mike was 15 feet away, I was 12 feet away, and he hit high left, came down, caught a nub, bounced up, or actually swooped back up, bounced in and out again. And literally on the videotape, you hear somebody going, "What?" And I don't know. It was kind of, I was kind of zoning during that tournament. It didn't feel anything special. It wasn't anything huge. It was just natural. You know, it just, my putt felt good. I didn't have to like, oh, this feels great. I'm gonna, it's just like, just comfortable. And I was 12 feet away chewing my gum at about 650 miles an hour. And when it's just another putt, doesn't mean a thing, just another putt. And it, I did the two-step putt from 12 feet away, and it went in. And I jumped up, and in my mind, I was going to do a standing backflip. And the first thing I thought of was, Greg Hosfeld, world champion, 3 seconds, broke his neck, dead. So I just jumped up in the air. I didn't do my backflip, but it was my knees gave out. I it didn't sink in fully for 3-4 months. And the biggest kick I got out of the whole thing was just every day thinking how Frisbee golfers around the world were saying my name like this. Hosfeld? That, I just loved the, I mean, it just, that cracked me up. But yeah, it was a pretty magical weekend.
Greg Miniak Hosfeld was the disc golf world champion in 1987. We spoke with him earlier this season. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Discovering the World has long been the leader in mail-order disc services, with the largest selection of professional and recreational flying disc products, plus PDGA merchandise. Discovering the World is a great place to find the disc you need for the sport you love. Online orders ship within 24 hours, and the new retail location is open 7 days a week to handle all your flying disc needs. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com. Discovering the World. If you think you've got what it takes to take on the top pros this weekend, November 5 and 6, then you, yes you, are headed to the 14th Veterans Park Open in Arlington, Texas. Always a terrific event. Another pro-only event this weekend is the Las Vegas Halloween Classic in Jacksonville, North Carolina. It's the Fall Disc Golf Classic. Clearwater hosting the Moccasin Lake Open. That's for AMs only. In Beeville, Texas, it's the South Texas AM Shootout. Greenville, South Carolina, the Upstate Classic. It's the Bloomington Open in Minnesota. Stevens City, Virginia, hosting the Sharondo Fall Foliage. In Tokyo, it's the Shawakinen Park Open. Plus, in Wichita, Kansas, it's the Wichita Roundup. The Haunted Waters Fall Classic in Corning, New York. Temperance, Michigan, hosting the Bark at the Moon. Or the Dead Dog Woods Fall Open in Elverson, PA. Bunch more. Get the full list anytime. PDGA.com. And finally, this week, a piece of mail is headed your way. That would be the renewal piece of mail to renew your PDGA membership for 2007. That will probably be arriving roughly about 2 weeks from now. And along with that, many folks will be getting the Tournament Director Planning Package. This includes just loads and loads and loads of information for planning out the 2007 season. It'll be going to all tournament directors along with state coordinators and other various assorted movers and shakers in the sport. Now, if you've never gotten a Tournament Director Planning Package before and you would like to get one, you may do so by dropping an email to Tour Manager David Gentry, and that email address is tourmgr@pdga.com. That's tourmgr@pdga.com, and David Gentry will help you out with that. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of October 31st. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsors this week, Discovering the World and Innova Champion Discs. And until next week, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.